Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Digital silence is a risk, and our guest today, Jess, is going to explain why. So welcome to today's episode. Jess, it's lovely to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Jess, I am so excited to learn about your background and how did you start working with professionals and leaders to help them really build a professional brand. I'm excited to hear your story.
You bet. Yeah, so I'm Jess Jensen. I'm a founder of Copilot Communications. And I launched the company in 2024. And really what I took was a lot of my experience and learnings inside of these kind of larger Fortune 500 companies. So my background after business school really was traversed three different verticals. So consumer packaged goods with Nestle, footwear and apparel, sort of the sports and lifestyle space with Adidas. And then I got into tech, and then I was both at Qualcomm and at Microsoft most recently. At Qualcomm, one of the areas that I built up over about the last 4 or 5 years of my tenure there was taking a lot of this digital marketing, social media, brand management training I had and bringing it into a more one-on-one coaching, relational type of business with our C-suite. And part of that was a necessity because we were starting to see on the brand side a lot of our reach, our engagement metrics, our impressions, a lot of that was really plummeting back in 2015, 16, as the social channels continued to get more cluttered. No question, there's just more brands, more activity, more influencers. Of course, it's harder and harder to cut through as a company, as Qualcomm in that situation. So we thought, I wonder if we should begin to train and stand up our CEO, our president, our chief commercial officer, some of our senior leaders, specifically the ones that were interested anyway and a little curious to learn more. I find that's always the best student is one who's curious. Out of that kind of necessity, we began to, and I spearheaded this just because of my background, I began to really work with them and build out what we call a narrative platform. So what are you going to talk about? What are the territories? Usually it's between 3 to 4. That are both in service of who you are and your value set and your background. Of course, people want to hear about that, but also clearly driving whatever the business is that's pertinent to you. In that case, it was Qualcomm. So I recognized after doing that for a few years and building that program up and hiring some staff beyond me even to support it, this was a practice unto itself, almost a side job on top of my main responsibility, which was digital marketing and social media. And so I thought maybe someday I'll do this on my own and maybe I could do it for clients outside of a corporate setting. So that's really what was the impetus for launching Copilot. And I think that we're in a really interesting era, kind of coincidental to when I launched the company around AI, because I think that there's even more of a need today for those individual voices to come through.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love that. I'd love to hear that how you got the executives to say yes, because I imagine there's a lot of them who would be like, that's not my thing.
You're 100% right, Jeannie. So there were definitely some right out of the gates that were like, that's not my jam. If you want to write it for me, sure, well, I'll sign it. But I was like, that's not really our intent. We really want it to be your voice, at least in part. But I totally get it. Some of us are more extroverted. Some of us are more introverted. Some of us are more private. Some are okay being out on stage. So it's all good, right? We're all different kinds of people, different kinds of leaders. So I definitely was drawn into some of the folks that were a little more either neutral or, again, curious. And I also learned, it was such a just professional learning, timing is everything. You can have a great idea and it could just be not the right time for the company. And when I initially pitched this idea of a practice around our executives, it wasn't the right time. There was some other stuff going on that was just preoccupying our leadership, and I get it. And I had to do other things, pull back, wait, and then come almost like you do in sales, right? Sort of return again, maybe 6-12 months later and reinitiate those conversations. And then it was, right? Then it was the right time. And so that combined with just some additional leaders that kind of got excited about it and really wanted to lean in, it began to build a flywheel and some momentum. And then before you know it, the supply and demand scenario flipped and they were coming to us asking us for help. Yeah, so good place to be, and definitely such a game around, I shouldn't say game, a sort of a psychology around, it's both the business impact and the sort of strategic idea that you have, but also pairing that with the right personality and timing and nuancing that to that individual's personal scenario.
I think as business owners, we often hear build your personal brand, but you're talking about building a professional brand. How do you feel like those differ, or are we just calling them different things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know I hear those interchangeable a lot as well. My definition is that I use the term professional brand, not because in a professional brand, you shouldn't also be talking about things that are outside of 8 to 5, right? In fact, I highly encourage that you show a full sort of 360 view of you as whether you're a business owner, a senior leader, just a human, right? People are interested in what else is going on besides your day-to-day job. They're also interested in your origin story, how you got into this line of work. Again, maybe challenges that you faced and overcome, how you think about leading people and really the kind of the management side. All those things really make a really lovely, robust platform. But I tend to not use the term personal brand because I think that sometimes that gets associated with either influencer work, which again, separately is great. And I've done a lot of work in that space too, but that's not really what this is. Or I think it can cause people to feel a little bit concerned or reluctant that this is just sort of them promoting themselves for the sake of promoting themselves. And I think a lot of us, that kind of doesn't sit well. Like, we want to know it's in service of something larger. And so professional brand, I think, is a more all-encompassing term that can make people feel like, yes, this is in service of my company or my business or a larger organization that I sit within.
It's so funny because you're right of how it makes you feel. We joke that we don't like living out loud. That's just not who we are. And both of us are more introverted. So again, living out loud and just sharing everything in your life. And that's what I think about when I think about a personal brand. So I love the concept of talking about having a professional brand where you're talking about, like you said, your origin story, your work, but then sharing a little bit about your life outside of that. That feels more doable than the word personal brand to me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not sharing our lunch. Is that right?
Right. You don't need to share photos of your lunch anymore. Yeah, those days are over. No, yeah, I think you guys bring up a great point. Like, it is attached to your work life, but our work lives have, especially post-pandemic, have really expanded, right? Our what is work versus play or personal versus professional, those lines have gotten blurry. And I think people are interested in more than just the kind of clean compartments. But it doesn't mean that we need to overshare or put things out there that don't feel comfortable. Some people are, as an example, some people are fine with sharing stuff about their family, their kids. Others are like, nope, I'm going to keep my kids' digital profile. Let them manage that when they grow up. That's a personal preference and totally fine. There's lots of other interesting things that we can talk about, whether it's hobbies you have, or again, where you grew up, or how you lead people, nonprofits or charitable causes you're interested in. There's almost always a few other territories outside of the work that is really compelling that rounds you out as a person.
That's amazing. And how often do people want to share religious or political views, and how do you navigate that with them?
I know those are the two topics, right? We're always taught not good to bring up at dinner. Usually, honestly, usually people are pretty consistently aware that we might want to just steer clear of those. We might have private conversations about some of those things, but I have yet to work with either someone on the corporate side or externally now with Copilot that is real adamant that they want to share something religious or political. I think most of us know it's kind of has potential to open up territory, A, that we just might not want to get into, but B, you go back to the objective. If the objective is to grow a business or be of service to a team or lead a company, usually those topics are not super fruitful in terms of achieving those objectives.
Yeah, I used to always tell my salespeople, the color of money in this country is green, it's not red or blue. And so again, go vote, have your political views, but you don't necessarily need to put them out there. And so I think that's a smart way to go about it. What are your thoughts, Jeannie? You're about to say something.
Yeah, I was thinking about, for us, I feel like we don't like to share so much about us because for us, it's all about the client. It's all about helping them grow. So how do you help people articulate maybe something about them, but also does it have to relate to their business and their work?
No, like we were talking about earlier, I think when you sit down and do some of this work together, part of it is me interviewing them. And then I even interview usually three people that they work closely with. So maybe it's a direct report, maybe it's a peer, maybe it's a former boss. They can let me know who those people are. But I ask them to give me people who can speak to their communication style, both the good and the bad. And I love the combination of what I can pull out of them, just me interviewing them. So that kind of step one discovery. But then when I pair that with the commonalities or the red threads that I can pull out from those peer interviews, those 360 interviews, there's really good, robust findings after those conversations. And often the people that I speak with will, in some cases, reinforce and reiterate some of the things that individual sees in themselves. And that's great, right? That's all green light, green light. But then sometimes there'll be some things that kind of come out of left field. And that's a really interesting conversation to bring that feedback back to my client and say, hey, I heard this. What do you think about that? And sometimes they don't always know that is something that could be an opportunity or something that really lights people up. They don't even realize they're having that impact. And so we can then fine tune their narrative platform based on what I know about them as an individual, their priorities, background objectives, et cetera. And then also the tone and voice can bring in some of that input from those 360 interviews so that it really lands.
Love that. So from what I understand, you have a 5-step process, and we may have already touched on some of this, but tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not a rigid structure, but it tends to be a framework that works well when I sit down with a new client and we're beginning to pencil out that approach, that digital strategy approach for their professional brand. So the first step is really the idea of knowing who you're talking to. This is almost the case for anything in life. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm going to go to a networking event or a party, I'd like to have a lay of the land. Who's going to be there? And do I do some research on the host? Like, I want to make sure I'm ready to speak to this audience in a way that's going to resonate with them, ideally. So the first step is really defining what I call that audience of one. And I stole that from Seth Godin, so that's not mine. But I love that terminology of if you just had to paint a picture of one person that you really want to hear your message, regardless of the platform we're talking about, could be social, could be podcasts, wherever you show up digitally. And this usually cascades into in-person and keynotes as well. But let's really paint a picture of that audience of one, and let's keep that in our mind as we're developing content down the road. That's number one. Number two, clarify what they stand for. And usually if we can do this in 3 to 4 sentences, this is really beginning to be the root of the narrative platform. For example, servant leadership is a hot topic, right? And a lot of leaders, not all, but a lot of leaders lean into that idea of, I want to put my people first. I want to shine a light on them. I want to be behind the scenes and I don't need the glory. As long as they're successful, we all win. That kind of servant leadership. So that could be one of the tenets, right? And we want to pick usually around 3 of them, things that they really feel they want to put out into the world and that is connected back to their value system as well as their business. So that's number 2. Number 3 is so once we've dialed in their tone and voice, their narrative platform, who their target audience is, begin to start to create content that does reflect those things in a realistic way. I think, again, I mentioned earlier with the era that we're in with AI, it is so tempting now, even for people, especially for people who maybe haven't been content creators or aren't writers or designers, to feel like, oh, fantastic, I have this tool, I'm just going to copy and paste that bad boy and we're good to go. We all can smell it a mile a minute, right? We all use it, I think, as editors and thought partners, and that's lovely. I use it all the time for research, but we don't want to just take what we get and call it a day. We still really want to be creating content that reflects who we are, not just what the PR team is asking us to put out if we're inside of a large company, not just what AI is giving us, because ultimately people are going to follow and engage and fall in love with us because they see that we're imperfect and we're human. That's relatable. And that doesn't usually come out of the PR team. Love them. All good. Or out of ChatGPT, copy paste. So that's number three, is just start creating authentic content that you feel is true to you. And it doesn't need to be polished and perfect. And let's start to test the waters and see what happens with our audience's reaction. And then four, I'm a big believer in let's go deep on one thing and let's get really good at that. I'd rather go deep and rather than wide. And then after we really build that muscle, then we can spread out across multiple territories. So what do I mean by that? So LinkedIn tends to be the platform where a lot of leaders and business owners want to start. And it makes sense. It's grown almost 2x since 2019. It's got over half the users are in six-figure income households, got a lot of business decision makers, and a lot of people that honestly just want to have good conversations, right? It's a little less, there's a little less drama on LinkedIn than there can be in some of the other social media platforms. So I love it for all those reasons, and a lot of my clients do too. For example, we might start with that platform using what we've done already, right? Audience definition, narrative platform building, tone and voice, beginning to iterate with some authentic content, and let's see how it lands on that one platform, really learn that platform, build an audience, get good at it, and then we can take that rhythm and cascade it out to other places like YouTube videos, podcasts, or maybe it's a blog, company blog, or perhaps it's another social property that makes sense for their business like Instagram. So that would be number four, master that first platform. And then the last one is one of my favorites. And I think it's a missed piece of this effort for a lot of folks. A lot of folks think of editorial and brand building as I create the thing, I put it out in the world, I publish it, and then I walk away. And I'll come back a couple days later and check on it. I really encourage my clients to actually be there to build community, really be there to have a conversation. Don't just set it and forget it. In fact, one of the favorite lines that I've heard, I think it was from Gary Vee, said, relationships are built in the comments. And I think it's so true. If you're in there responding to comments you're getting on your posts, you're asking questions of other people in their posts, you're taking the time to actually nurture a community and show that you're there more than just to push out, but actually to pull back in too. People see that, and that really builds trust. And ultimately, the whole reason you're building a digital platform is to build trust with your audience, customers, and clients.
Now, how much time does your client spend in this process on average each day? What do you encourage them to do?
So this upfront work I just kind of walked through, that's like the strategy setting. So we might work together it just depends on our schedules, but it might be between 4 and 6 weeks. We have a few sessions a week and kind of get through this strategy piece. Once you have that in place, then yeah, you're creating content on a regular basis. And it depends on how we work. Some of them do it on their own, and I'm just an editor, a sort of second set of eyes giving feedback. Some I'm actually creating the content and we're working really collaboratively together, and I'm helping kind of keep that machine moving. So it just depends on how much involvement they want. I would say if my suggestion to them is to be posting, let's just say on that first platform, and let's say it's LinkedIn, twice a week, it might be that whether it's me or them, whoever is the content creator behind the scenes, it might be that's an hour, maybe an hour and a half a week. And there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. You can obviously do it right in the moment. That's the hardest way because sometimes you're just relying on what's my idea today. I like to batch it if I can. I like to plan ahead maybe 3 to 4 weeks with ideas I have, just loose ideas. And I have sources where I can come find those and pull those together. And then I might use like maybe a Friday morning and just have a session, a deeper session where I can write, I can research, maybe come up with some fun imagery, really batch a few posts all at once, and then I can schedule them out for the future.
And how do you feel about text posts versus video? Because in my mind, I'm envisioning video because we do a lot of video, but I'm sure that's not comfortable for everyone. So how do you work with your clients on that?
Yeah, video, you're so right. Video, I think I've seen the statistics that on LinkedIn right now, video is getting 3x the engagement of any other style of post. I think the only other one that's really rising to the top are the carousel where you swipe through multiple slides. So yeah, but video is a heavier lift. You're right, Jeannie. And not everyone, most people honestly are not comfortable in front of the camera. I've done a few posts about this myself where I've shown myself in my, here I am with no makeup, or it's a Friday, my hair's up in a bun. It's okay. But that's hard. It's hard for a lot of us. So yeah, we tend to do a lot of copy plus visual, and that visual can be in different formats. Could be stills, could be a carousel, could be a GIF. Once in a while, we'll do some videos, but again, I think it's a more an occasional thing for most people because we have to script it, they have to be in the right environment, and they have to mentally be ready to be on camera. So I thank you for bringing that up because I need to push that a little harder with my clients, but it's baby steps.
I love that. So it's interesting. I'm going to challenge you, hopefully, a little bit here. We joke because Jeannie and I are very different people, but one business, right? And so I always like to say when we have to write copy, we bicker like 6-year-olds. But obviously, building our own professional brand can be important. But I think I love that servant leadership because I think that was exactly what Jeannie was talking about, how we love to just talk about helping people and serving them. And because we actually train virtual assistants for our clients, in some ways, I feel like we're serving two different markets. We're serving our clients who are fabulous, but we're also serving these people halfway around the world who get great jobs working for our clients who treat them so well, and it's win-win. So I feel like we often struggle with how to balance talking about what we do. And again, doing on our own profiles is easier because we're individuals there, but I still feel like we both challenge or struggle sometimes with our three core values, our three core topics.
Yeah, that's a really good example. If I just on the fly, if I were to think about working with the two of you or any duo, right? Because I'm sure that's a common scenario where you each have value systems, strengths, your own goals, and how do you mesh that? It's almost like a marriage, right? How do you mesh those into a partnership? That's then how do you communicate that publicly? So to me, that's a fun challenge. And I have worked with another set of three that are partners in a business. And so we're just beginning actually to do some of that work where we're thinking about, okay, we have the business and the brand of the business, but then we have these individuals. And how do we, it's almost like you're an orchestra conductor. They're instruments, right? How do we take each of these wonderful instruments and what's unique and special about them and make them perform and sing in the way that they're so good at naturally, but then the concert itself is all of them, right? It's the beauty of them all working together. And so I would likely think about, okay, let's do a bit of an exercise around the value systems, objectives, what we feel comfortable with publicly. And then how do we bring that into a collective that feels good across, say, the two of you? But still keeping space, holding space for each of you to be out there as individuals. Because again, you want that concert effect. You're both accruing to the brand of the company as individuals, as well as the company brand. So that's a really fun exercise actually to do. And it actually makes it a little bit more robust than just a one-on-one.
I love how she called those instruments. I'm not sure which one I would be.
I was just going to say, what would be, did you play anything in school, Jeannie?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would
I'll
definitely be
have to
the
get back to
drum.
you on that one.
I'll be the drum set for sure.
Yes.
Or the trumpet.
Usually for
Trumpet.
the trumpet, yeah.
Or you being the trumpet.
Yeah. Jeannie, I play the drums and the clarinet. So I feel like I maybe straddled worlds.
You
How about
may
you?
be, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a fun analogy, right? Like we all love going to listen to music, and it's good because there's lots of different pieces to it.
Yes. But Jess, this has been fantastic because I do feel like so many people are going to resonate with the idea of having a professional brand versus that whole concept of personal brand. And I think it's so important. Obviously, I know with corporate executives, having an online presence is important to them and their future and gives them opportunities to grow their careers. And as business owners, it definitely gives you an opportunity, like you said, to get out there and build trust and let people get to know who you are and then take it further by building community. And this has just been such a fantastic conversation with you today.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it too. I love talking about this stuff, especially with good people.
thank you. And like Kirsten said, thanks again for joining us today. And we are excited to get this out there and to hear some feedback from our listeners, because I know that they got tons of value. So thanks for joining us today, Jess.
Yeah. Oh, you bet. I have one actually offer to leave for your audience, if I may.
Absolutely.
In November, I'm offering for listeners of the podcast, I'm offering a free 25-minute LinkedIn audit. And so I can give you the link, we'll put it in the show notes, but you can go also just to my website, which is copilotcommunications.com, super straightforward. And there's a contact section and you can just book time right there. And if you just put in the note that you heard me on this podcast, then that is a free half an hour meeting. And I think a lot of people right now are thinking about Q4 goals. How do I finish strong? That's something I'd love to offer your listeners.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.